88.9 FM.
Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to talk with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, we are truly feeling overwhelmed here at the station. I just want to take a moment to celebrate each and every one of you. You came through like bosses on Saturday. I want to step back for just a moment because, you know, can I celebrate you for a few minutes? Because last Friday, we announced a call to action that we will be holding a Today with Dr. K School Depot to collect basic essential items such as water, toilet paper, and hand sanitizer. That's all we asked for Baltimore City school students. We could not understand why any child in this city should attend the school and not have access to water or toilet paper or hand sanitizer. Well, not only did you come out, you came out in the pouring rain. Some of you were retired and you told us this was all you could afford, so you bought a little. Some of you bought a lot. There was no item that was too small or too big because every single thing counted. Even if you wanted to help and you were unable to attend, we felt your love and your support and your prayers. Some of you bought your own carts and you even helped us carry the supplies up to our storage room. I think you felt sorry for us. It was Justina, my producer, and I. We were holding up the fort, carrying in bottles, getting our workout in, and we are deeply grateful. We said we were going to be here until 2 p.m., and you kept coming. There are no words that can ever express our deepest gratitude. Now, I took an unofficial count about what we have, and you donated more than 3,500 bottles of water, over 300 rolls of toilet paper, and over 200 bottles of hand sanitizer. Some of you also bought books and pencils and notebooks and juices and paper towels. Folks, this is how we rise, and this is how we win. It does not make sense. In Baltimore City, a city that is predominantly Black, we have a Black mayor, we have a Black CEO of City Schools, a number of our council people are Black, and yet Black children are suffering in these schools. Those of you in power who are listening to me now, knowing that you are in a position to do something, you should be ashamed of yourself, because you would never allow your own child to be subject to these type of conditions. Why would you let somebody else's babies deal with this? Now, it's a little bit cooler today, so no one's talking about the hot schools. Babies are in school for an entire day. But here on Today with Dr. K, we will not let up on the pressure. Just because it's gotten cooler, it's going to get hotter at some point. Just because it got warm, you know, when we were dealing with freezing classrooms, we knew it was going to get cold again at some point. Unfortunately, I feel that those of us in power, we have to bend our privilege to push those of us who have more power to really make a difference. But you helped us this weekend, and we are happy to announce that the Today with Dr. K School Depot is now open. So I am ringing my bell for all of you. The School Depot is open. We're asking any Baltimore City school teacher, please bring your identification card. You come on over to 4905 Perrin Parkway. We will issue you a case of water, some toilet paper, hand sanitizers. You can pick up these basic essentials by calling 443-885-3564. That's 443-885-3564. Make an appointment and come and pick up your items. Also, when we open up these phones and we start talking, if you call to make a comment and you want to make an appointment, you can do that with Justina as well. Now, if you are a teacher and you cannot get here, we want to work something out. We did not collect all of these supplies to keep them in our storage room. Those supplies are for any Baltimore City teacher. Now, I just got a text from a Baltimore County teacher. She is feeling the strain as well. You know what? We're not going to turn any teacher away. Baltimore County, if you're in Anne Arundel, Hartford, Montgomery, wherever you are, no child should have to go without. Now, later on in this show, I want to talk about Serena Williams. I want to talk about what it feels like to be a Black woman at work being harassed by a white man who's using his white male privilege to interrupt your day. I want to talk about that. Was Serena justified in her response? Did you agree with that? Did you think she was completely out of control? Was she right to have been penalized? At this point, she's looking at a $17,000 fine, which is an incredible amount of money for me, which is nothing for her. But still, the fact that she has been harassed, she was embarrassed, she was called on the carpet, and now she's got to pay. I want to talk about that. 410-319-8888. But I want to begin by playing a quick clip, and this clip comes from the Miss America pageant. Now, folks, if you know me, you know I am not someone who supports the Miss America pageant at all. I do find them to be extremely sexist. I know they remove the swimsuit competition, but this idea of lining women up and making judgments based upon how they look and their size and their waist and their bust, I just have a real problem with that. But something happened this weekend that had me thinking. So I appreciated what Miss Michigan did. Instead of highlighting her achievements, listen to how she introduced herself.
From a state with 84% of the U.S. fresh water, but none for its residents to drink, I am Miss Michigan, Emily Sioma.
I love that. Miss Michigan Emily Sioma. She used her platform to point out that she's from a state with 84% of the United States' fresh water, but none for its residents to drink. Folks, how long has Flint been without water? Let me just make this clear to you. 1,600 days as of today. That is how long the people of Flint, Michigan have been without clean water in their pipes, over 4 years. Now, in August and September of 2014, go back with me, residents were warned to boil the water before using it because E. coli and coliform bacteria was found in the water supply. In October of 2014, General Motors stopped using Flint's water because it corroded the engine parts. Yes, that's how dangerous the water was, and people were still drinking it. They were told to just boil the water, not to stop drinking it. By January 2015, residents were being told that the water contained high levels of byproducts from water disinfecting chemicals. These chemicals were known to cause kidney, liver, and nervous system damage. I want you to be very clear. When we talk about Flint, we're talking about economically challenged, predominantly Black folks who live in these communities. Sick and elderly people were especially at risk, but residents were told that the water was otherwise safe to consume. GM stopped using it because it corroded their engine parts, but yet economically challenged Black and Hispanic folks were told, keep drinking it, just boil it first, keep bathing in it, keep using it to wash your hands. Later that same month, January 2015, Detroit offered to reconnect Flint to its water system at no cost, but the emergency manager at the time rejected that offer. By September 2015, it had been determined that Flint's water was 19 times more corrosive than Detroit tap water. Listen to that. What they found is that they had babies under the age of 5 years old with elevated levels of lead in their blood. Now, this is where it gets really just horrifying. A lead warning was issued, but residents were still told that the water was okay for consumption and use. It wasn't until January 2016 that the governor of Michigan declared a state of emergency and actually acknowledged that there was a problem with the water. Folks, Flint, Michigan hasn't had clean water for 1,600 days. I appreciate Miss Michigan using that platform, the Miss America pageant, a very large platform, to highlight what is happening. As we have moved on with our lives throughout this country, there are places where people are really suffering. Places where, and I just want to make a note, predominantly Black, economically challenged folks. It's happening in Flint, and we know what's happening right here in Baltimore City. Now, let's talk about Serena Williams. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones. 410-319-8888. What do you think about what happened between Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka? Now, Naomi Osaka, of course, won. She beat her idol. She was being coached or is being coached by Serena Williams' former hitting partner. She hit with this coach for 8 years. She is now coaching Naomi Osaka. But Serena got in trouble. There were at least three penalties assessed against her. One that resulted in her being fined $17,000, losing points. It's interesting because what we find that they have in common, besides the fact that they have, of course, the same hitting coach, both of their fathers wanted both of the daughters, because each one of them, it's two daughters, both fathers said they wanted their daughters to play tennis. Naomi's father said that he was encouraged because he saw Serena Williams and Venus Williams' father coaching them. He said he laid down the coaching book and all I had to do was follow it. Do not tell me that representation doesn't matter. This Haitian daddy saw what Serena and Venus's father did. He said, I'm going to do the same thing with my daughters. And now here it is, his daughter has beaten Serena. I just want you to think about that. It is something that we have to take into account. Representation matters. So seeing this actually encouraged his father to do the same thing. Now, what is interesting is that when you look at what happened there out on the court, and I went and I watched it, and I saw Serena, what I saw was someone who has very recently become a hero to me. Like, I am looking at Serena as a mother. I'm looking at all of that Serena has overcome. Every time she steps out onto that court, the world is watching and standing ready to critique her, to criticize her, to hold her to a higher standard. Remember, Serena is more drug tested than any of the other players. This is someone who feels the actual weight of the world as a black woman every time she steps out there, but she keeps stepping out there. Serena was warned for illegal coaching due to receiving what her coach later admitted were coaching hand signals. She was penalized a point for breaking her racket and then a game for verbal abuse of the chair umpire. The other was a trophy presentation ceremony when there were a series of boos by the fan that were unhappy about the result. All of this happened in one game. I want to hear from you. Was Serena justified in how she called out this ref? I mean, I do really feel for Serena at this moment. When she started crying at the end, I saw that as tears of frustration. Tears where you're just fed up at the system itself. I mean, there are days when we as black women feel fed up and tired. I actually wrote something as I was thinking about Serena, and I was taking a look at that cartoon that came out. And the cartoon came out, you know, very, very disturbing cartoon if you have not seen it. But it came out through the Austria's Herald Sun. And it's a picture of, I don't know who this is supposed to be, but it's a very heavy African-American woman. The features are like a caricature that used to come out in the 1950s of how black women looked. She's jumping up in the tutu, slamming down on a racket. There's a pacifier near. And then there's a white ref in crisp white pants talking to what looks like a white woman because she has a blonde ponytail. That's not how Naomi looks at all because Naomi is Haitian and Japanese. But telling her, can you just let her win? As if the only reason why Serena is reacting this way is because of histrionics and not because of the racism that we encounter in every single platform where we play. It is dangerous, folks, and it's something that we have to unpack. I thought about Serena, and I wrote this down. I want to share this with you as you're getting your thoughts together and you're giving me a call at 410-319-8888. I said, I am Serena. Now, I carry a pen instead of a racket. And my court is my classroom. My refs are my students and my colleagues and my administrators. I am at a PWI, which stands for Persistently White Institution. And so, like Serena, my stands are filled with white faces who sometimes have judgmental eyes. I wear an invisible cape, wishing I had the courage to wear a tutu. I'm also raising the next generation. I must stand tall before them. I am taking the blows so that the way will be made easier for the next sister behind me. I am not a global superstar, but I feel like history has its eyes on me. And every time I step on my court, I feel the pain and the loss and the anguish all the time, and it is hard and frustrating and tiring. I am Serena. That's how I felt in that moment. When she went through that, I said, that is exactly what Black women go through in almost every single arena of our lives. We are born in a world we have to fight. We continue fighting throughout our life. And I like what Serena does. She said she did it for the next sister coming behind her. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. It's a perfect coalescence of race and class and gender all coming together in this moment. We have Lucille on the phone. Lucille, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Lucille, are you there? All right, I'm going to put Lucille on hold. I'm going to have Justina work on Lucille's line, and I'll go on to Ernest. Ernest, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Dr.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think, Ernest? You want to talk about Serena?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I think she was right in doing what she did. You have to understand tennis and the white supremacy that's involved in tennis. You know that every time she gets in a tournament, a major, she has to meet her sister in the third round.
Yes.
All the time.
Yep.
And this is so that one of those Williams is only one going to get to the finals.
Right. So you don't have a 1-2 punch is what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah. And also that I can hear some background noise.
You sound clear on the air. Go ahead. You sound clear.
Okay. Well, that's one problem.
And what's the other problem, Ernest?
The other problem is that even Osaka, I'm hearing the phone and everything in the background. Your phone.
Can you fix, Justina, can you work on Ernest's line? Ernest, hold on. They're going to work on your line. Folks, I know that the phones are a little bit wonky today. It's because of the weather. Just bear with us. We will work it out. We'll put Ernest on hold, and let's talk to Roscoe. Roscoe, how are you?
Fine. How you doing today?
Fine. You came out and donated supplies on Saturday, right?
I certainly did.
Thank you so much.
I had an opportunity to see you before you, as you were pulling out. And Miss Justine helped me, and I really appreciated meeting her. She was very helpful.
Thank you so much. We're glad you came by, sir.
And also, Miss Sinead, nice young lady.
Yes, that's our student intern. Thank you.
Listen, you know, here's the beauty of communication, talking about things, because you get different sides of the coin. You know, listen, I watched the match, and I've been filled with disdain ever since I watched it. I DVR'd it. I recorded it. I looked at it back and forth. Listen, you're talking about how Serena, you know, felt and what she did. And I think the tragedy of this whole thing is we're like overlooking, not we, I know I'm not, but because I'm giving credit to that young lady, Miss Osaka.
Listen, yes, Naomi
the
Osaka.
The reality is she was beating Serena's behind.
Yeah, she probably would have won.
Her.
Yes, she was.
She played a perfect match. And the fans and that stadium, they act like, you know, if they were tennis fans, instead of applauding the accomplishments of this young lady and what she accomplished, they turned into a boo session and ruined it for this young lady.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you see somebody that wins a men's accomplishment uncomfortable feet and then has to cry?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now let me ask you this, Roscoe, because people who were there stated later that they were not booing Naomi Osaka, who did, as you said, play an incredible match. Incredible. She definitely has a strong future in the field, but they were booing the call of the ref and what was taking place between the ref and Serena and how it continued.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. But they should understand, as fans of the sport, the implications that could have to that young lady. I mean, they should, you know, put their, you know, disappointment aside and let that young lady, you know, get the accolades that she deserves. And let me say this lastly.
Mm-hmm.
If I was, you know, Mrs. Osaka's father or lawyer, I would file a charge against that. Miss Adams. What was her name? The president?
Because, oh, yes.
Did you hear her comments when she awarded Serena? She said, "Perhaps it's not the finish we were looking for today."
I know. And
but
that
Serena,
has.
You
oh,
are
yes.
a champion of yes. all champions. What does she mean? You know, this is not the finish where we were looking for. What were you looking for? She should have been impartial. She's supposed to have been impartial, but it was obvious that she wanted Serena to win and the fans. And that was the.
Well, you know what's interesting? I'm going to say that I wonder too if she said that to avoid the wrath that's coming down now, because Serena, if I'm not mistaken, she is not letting this go. Thank you so much, Roscoe. Justina just told me we have the clip that Roscoe was referring to. Let's listen to it, and then Lucille and Ernest, I'm going to spin back around to you, and then Fred, John, and Antoinette.
Naomi, welcome to the big stage. Serena, welcome back. These 2 weeks, you two have showed your power, your grace, and your will to win. Perhaps it's not the finish that we were looking for today, but Serena, you are a champion of all champions. This mama is a role model and respected by all. Naomi, congratulations on your first Grand Slam title. You are indeed a champion and a force of the future.
Now, I'm agreeing with Roscoe that, you know, this idea that when she said that, this is not the outcome we were looking for, right? Is that comment diminishing the hard work and the persistence and the talent of this young and upcoming Haitian-Japanese star, Naomi Osaka? Let's not diminish that, but we can call out the racism and the white male privilege that we saw. Serena Roshi is classy as always, and she did step in. She did lean in. She did bend her privilege to remind people that we are at a celebration for Naomi Osaka joining the big stage. But at the same time, I love what Serena said. Hey, you owe me an apology. She did not let that go. Let's get back to these calls here. We have Lucille. I think her line is ready. Lucille, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. K.
How are you? Thank you for holding on.
I'm good. I feel for Naomi. I feel for Serena. Serena had to speak up. If for no other reason, she has her daughter who's going to look at this in the future and saw that mommy did not allow them to treat her any kind of way. I feel for Naomi because she wasn't prepared. See, Naomi's where Serena and Venus were.
Right.
When they first started playing, they were low-key. They let them walk over and whatever. Their father was, the backbone, but they knew they had to get their foot in there. So now that they've got their foot in there, they can speak up.
Right.
And Naomi is still navigating her way. Yeah, she won this title, but she has to win a few more before she'll feel, if she ever will,
right,
feel that she can speak up. Yeah, she got the fire from, if she has her father's Haitian fire,
she'll be speaking up.
Right, that might kick in eventually, but she still has, well, I don't know. I have a Japanese friend, and she can get a little heated also.
Yeah, so both sides.
Right.
Thank you so much, Lucy. I'm going to leave it there. We got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we will go to Ernest, Keith, Fred, John, and Antoinette. I do want to say happy Rosh Hashanah. And keep it here. If this is Today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. KY's Whitehead. Stay with us. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. Folks, I put that on because I am feeling Serena Williams today. I read something in The Root that I want to just put out there before I go to the calls. And I saw this column where it says that, you know, there comes a moment a moment when black people can really actually experience what it feels like to be a white American. And for this writer, he said he felt that directly following Barack Obama's win in 2008. He said, I've never actually been white, so this thought is based on a generous presumption. But when I think of whiteness in a micro context and how whiteness must allow white people to feel, I think it's a specific sort of freedom, a freedom to do and say and be without weight. No intersecting racial, political, and historical context to be compelled to consider, and no consideration of how these intersections shift and construct your senses of morality and reality. That's what it must feel like to be white. Because when I deal with the fact that I'm a black woman, every time something happens, I think about race. I think about politics. I think about the social context. When I saw these two black women in the final, Serena as an African-American, Naomi as a Haitian Japanese woman, these two black women with this white man sitting up, making all these decisions, speaking into the moment, going back and forth, taking points away, taking games away, because he was exercising his white male privilege and just really leaning too hard into the space. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it. Maybe it's not about race. Maybe it's not about gender. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. Ernest, I know we fixed your phones. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, it is about race. Let me give you an example. In 1996, Malavar Washington, who was an African-American, was playing Todd Martin in the semifinals of the Wimbledon. And the referee in the fifth set kept cheating to help the white boy, Todd Martin, win. And Malavar Washington was getting ready to take off, but a storm came down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down like 5-1 when he came back. 5-1, fifth set, all Todd Martin needed was one game to win the match. He lost, and Malavar Washington got to the finals of Wimbledon. He was playing against a white guy again, Richard Krajicek from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
They started cheating Malavar Washington again, and Richard Krajicek, who was from the Netherlands, said, no, that ball was good. And every time they tried to call a ball out that was good, Krajicek would say, change the call, the ball was good. Now, Serena Williams was cheated not only by white men, white women. She had problems with white women at the French.
Yes, she did.
And the
yes,
U.S.
She did.
Open. She had a problem with a foot fault or something. But just because Osaka had beat her, they had played once before. Osaka had beat her. They only played twice. But Osaka had keys down in the third set, 5-1, in the semifinals last year and lost. So what I'm saying to you is, until that last point is won, people have lost matches that had triple match points
right.
with a big score, like 5-1, and still have lost. So nobody would know what the outcome was. My basic thing is this. If Togolo was coaching from the stand, first of all, she didn't see it. She wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, she may not have even seen it. That's one of the things that
they showed
argument.
It on television.
Right.
She didn't
yeah.
see it. She wasn't
mm-hmm.
paying attention. However, she has come back from deficits like that before. But when that referee interjected what he did, which he should have let go. He should have. Nobody does that in a major tournament of that size. They don't do it to white guys. But he injected this, and she felt like he was calling her a cheat, and she never cheats.
And she said, I don't cheat to win.
I don't cheat.
I'd rather lose.
And she's won so many tournaments. She's the greatest
she
of
is.
All time.
She is. Now, I'm going to stop you there, Ernest. Thank you so much. We have Fred on the phone from East Baltimore. Fred, how are you? Fred, can you turn your radio down, please?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, if you can turn your radio down in the background.
Okay. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling and holding on.
Good, good. Listen, I just want to say a couple of things. One, I honestly believe it's partially racist. racism is there because it's obvious. I don't think the announcer meant it, but because of white privilege, she didn't know what to say. And that's why it came out that way. Serena is a bridge builder. And if anybody reads Will Drumgoole's poem, it's Serena all over.
Mm-hmm.
She's building this bridge to span the tide for a youth that's going to come this way. I applaud her for it. But this is not only happening to the white women, it's happening to the white men, black women, but it's happening to the black men as well. And it's obvious in pro basketball, and it's obvious in pro football. In pro basketball, they have to jump on the best athlete, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, because it's dominated by the African-American. Where in football, where there's 22 spots on an offense and defensive opponents on the field at the same time, we dominate probably 15 spots.
Right.
But we can't dominate the one spot, the quarterback
spot. The quarterback spot. I always hear this. Yes.
It's obvious when you see a guy like Tyrod Taylor get traded from the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Who just took his team to the playoffs. And if you ever listen to the verbiage at any game where African-American is in there, they never lead you the way they lead the white athlete.
Right.
They never do it. They always give you the downside, why he throw that ball away. That was a bonehead decision. Or in the white player's position, he'll live to see another day. That was a great decision. The propaganda goes on and on
right.
and on.
It's the way race comes into sports over and again.
Until we look at it and either boycott it and start speaking out, Serena is going to be out there, and we're going to support her, and I applaud her. But in pro football, I don't know if we're going to ever get there because it just seems like people don't see it.
They don't see it. Well, they don't see black quarterbacks in that position of being able to make the plays, make the calls, be able to figure out the game as a whole. For some reason, they see us as just runners. Take the ball, run it, just catch it, do the grunt work, not the work that deals with strategy.
But not to cut you off, Doc, but more importantly, the pressure that the African-American quarterback has to go through is obvious, and if anybody wants to really get a real understanding on it, go on ESPN or look up ESPN on YouTube and look at Cordell Stewart on First Take,
okay.
And he'll give you a full example of what it's like to be a pro athlete, a pro football quarterback in the NFL. And since that, he has never been back on any sports show other than the Housewives of Atlanta. He
okay, well,
that.
We won't
but
call that a sport. That, but we'll definitely go take a look at that.
Else. But look at ESPN.
Cordell Stewart,
the
okay.
black quarterback. He'll
All
give
right.
you a prime example of what's going on.
Thank you so much. Folks, I think what's interesting is I was looking at, you know, Naomi Osaka, 20 years old, and you have the crowd booing. She's crying, and she actually turns to Serena. She says, "I'm sorry. I know that everyone was cheering for her, and I'm sorry I had to end like this." And then she said, "I'm really grateful I was able to play with you," Osaka said. "Thank you." She bowed her head to Williams at that point. I am sad that in this moment, when we should be celebrating the rise of another young sister coming on the stage, 20 years old, her father followed the same playbook that Serena Williams' father followed and set up and laid out and really introduced the world to do the same thing with his daughters. And here she is on the biggest stage in the world, and she is being booed. Let's take a quick listen to how Serena responded to this, and then we'll go back to the phones.
I don't want to be rude, but I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to do questions. I just want to tell you guys, she played well, and this is her first Grand Slam. You guys were here rooting, and I was rooting too, but let's make this the best moment we can, and we'll get through it, but let's give everyone the credit where credit's due, and let's not boo anymore. We're gonna get through this, and let's be positive. So congratulations, Naomi.
All right, so Serena Williams, as classy as ever. Now, we do know, I think it's important to note that I am Serena. I'm saying that. But I also know the girlfriend does have a temper. Now, she has been known in more than one occasion to speak up and speak out. Serena does not in any way. She doesn't move lightly. She makes her presence known. And that is something that I love about her. I remember the time in the U.S. Open in 2009 when she said to the line judge, you know, if anything else happens, I'm going to take this effing ball and shove it down your effing throat. Like, Serena does not back away. I think that's one of the things I like about her. But she's also in a game where I see white men being emotional all the time. Anybody remember John McEnroe? I mean, white men used to throw rackets and scream and yell all the time. They were applauded. They got all kinds of endorsement deals because of these big attitudes, this big emotional response. And now a black woman is doing it, but it's not being supported. All of a sudden, she's a baby. She doesn't understand how to lose. She has won so many times. I think Serena has earned her right to be called the greatest of all times when it comes to tennis. Let's just talk about that. 410-319-8888. I have John on the phone from Ellicott City. John, how are you?
Oh, how are you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
No, I don't think what the crowd was doing, and they were booing the judgment of the umpire,
right,
and how he allowed himself to be such a big factor in the match. And I think what the lady was saying, and I agree, nobody wanted it to end that way.
Right.
You know,
good point.
Marred in controversy. That's what she was talking about, not mm-hmm. necessarily who won.
Mm-hmm.
But the larger point that I want to make about Serena and Venus, both of them, what they did should inspire not only black women, but also black men. They went in. They went into a predominantly white, genteel sport, and they rose to become, in spite of all the obstacles they encountered, they became, Serena became the best of all times. And that's what we, you know, that's the lesson that I take away from her. In spite of her dark skin complexion and her body build. Because if you remember, if you follow tennis closely, the person who received much more publicity than Serena
yes.
was Sharapova.
Yes.
And because she was, you know, even
Sharapova.
Though she wasn't even born, she was a Russian, but she was blonde.
She fit the standard. She
right.
fit the standard of what beauty looks like in this right. country, which is what is so dangerous about it, right?
Yeah, but in spite of all of that, she didn't let that deter her and her family. They still rose to the top, and I'm going to get out of it. But I also think there was an element of gender involved, not just race. You know, it was, the people I've heard, that they said usually you get warnings before you start taking away points.
Right.
And somebody did some research, and I think I forgot how many years they went back, and there was only one person who had been penalized a game. And they
That's met, huge. Hmm? That is huge to be penalized an entire game. That is huge.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I appreciate that. Folks, you know, let's be clear. What Serena Williams was seeking and what many of us hoped that she would attain, because I was pulling for Serena. I'm all in for Team Naomi. But I was pulling for Serena because it would have been a record equaling 24th Grand Slam singles title. That is what was on the line. So the tears that we saw, the frustration, the anger, the emotion, there was a lot on the line at that moment. Now, I'm all for Naomi, 20 years old, on the scene, but I was pulling for Serena to do this, to really seal her place in the record books. We have Antoinette on the phone. She's a new caller from Cockeysville. Antoinette, welcome to the family.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, in reference to your first question, I do believe that Serena was justifiable in her actions.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's always being scrutinized or dehumanized, and she had every right to speak up for what she believed was an injustice.
Right.
And so I commend her for her bravery, and I hope she continues to speak up, because a lot of us don't.
Right.
You know, and for the most part, they can never and probably will never embrace her greatness.
No, they won't.
So, you know, so I see, you know, lots of times they try to throw her off balance. But even still with that, you know, she still perseveres, and she keeps her composure. I mean, she gets a little unhinged a little time, you know, sometimes. But who wouldn't? You know, when you're constantly being scrutinized.
But you know what? This what's interesting, Antoinette. Sometimes I do, and I'm sure you don't have to racially self-identify. But there are times when just the pressure of racism, the frustration of dealing with white teachers teaching African American children, two of whom happen to be my own, the pressure of going into a meeting and being the only black woman at the table, and I'll talk and talk and talk, Antoinette. No one ever recognizes me, and then a white male colleague will say the exact same thing I just said, and they'll act like the dude just came up with a cure for cancer, right? Like I'm invisible in this space. So I get the frustration.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's hard sometimes. It is hard.
Yeah, that's why I said it was justifiable.
Yeah.
And she should continue to speak up.
I hope she does, too.
Anytime an injustice is done and you let it go, then that means that there will be more injustice.
Yeah.
And more. And more people would think that it's okay to do that to us.
Yes.
And personally, I'm sick and tired of it.
I'm with you.
I'm sick and tired of reading in a newspaper. And just like that character that they depicted her.
The caricature of, yes.
Well, and I mean, that's what I say when I'm talking about dehumanization. You know, how? This woman she's great. Now, had she been a white woman, mean to be sound racist, but had she been a white woman, she would be deemed the greatest woman in the world.
Yes, ever.
She would have never done
ever.
That to her.
Ever. Thank you so much, Antoinette. Just think about that, folks. Just the amount of scrutiny that Serena's under and her justifiable, I would argue, anger. Serena did at that moment what I feel like doing when I have to deal with racism over and over again. It's the frustration and anger that I feel when I read about Botham Jean, a black man, shot and killed in his own apartment by a white female cop who walked in thinking it was her place. Like, there's justifiable anger when little black children have the cops called on them and they're just mowing the grass or selling water. There's justifiable anger. I mean, I was all in with her. We have Anita on the phone from downtown Baltimore. Anita, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. Listen, there's so much going on. This is so interesting. I'm sitting here. There's so much going through my mind. I'm not sure what that other guy meant a few callers back that said, in spite of Serena being dark. I don't get that.
I'm glad you did. I was going to go circle back around to that because I didn't understand what he meant by that.
I don't know whether that came up the wrong way or I'm perceiving it the wrong way. Because as a dark woman, what does that have to do with your capabilities and your ability to perform?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
No, that's a good point.
It is dark, light stuff. I don't know what in the world to do. I really don't. I am just frustrated with it. And yes, these white men cannot stand black people on top. The person that made the comment about the black quarterback is so right.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to see black people dominate anything. Years ago, Jesse Jackson said blacks dominate sports because it's an even playing field.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. See, they can't dominate us because we honestly, now I hate to say this and I'm going to put it out there, but our genes indicate that dictate that. We can do it.
That we're able to dominate. Now, let me just throw this out there so we can be clear, because with Jesse Jackson and it's an even playing field, we know that he's talking about on the sports field. Because if you look at the owners and you look at the coaches and you look at the refs, black folks are not dominating in those arenas.
Well, I think he was. You know, I think he
just the players.
I think he was referring to the competition,
yes.
Not necessarily the decision makers,
the money makers, yes. The real money makers, right?
Right, the real money makers, exactly, because they don't like seeing us doing that. Because I was told at one time they got tired of Tiger Woods dominating everything when he didn't identify himself as being left. Black man.
No, he, what was it? Kablan the Asian is what he calls it. Right. Caucasian, right. Black, Asian, Kablan
right.
The Asian.
If anything else
yes.
Was black.
Except when he got arrested.
Right.
He was
when
a black
that's
man.
That's what I was about to say. When that incident happened down in Florida and his wife came out there with those golf clubs, then he was a black
yes,
man.
Yes, and when he got pulled over.
There you go. Yes. There you go. So this dark skin stuff is starting to bother me because, again, I'm a dark woman. And, yes, I'm for Serena. At one time, I was not a big fan because I wasn't a big fan of tennis. But she and her sister started dominating the courts, it became an interest to me.
Yep. All Team Serena all the time. Thank you so much, Anita. We have a Leon Bailey on the phone. Leon is a former Boxing Hall of Fame champion. He also donated on Saturday. Thank you so much, Leon, for donating.
Dr. K, I'm going to take it a different way. I'm going to say that you and Justina Saturday were the champions.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Because you stayed out there, both of you stayed out there in that rain, coming down and taking everything out of cars and putting them into the office. So I just want to say
thank you.
You are the champion as far as I'm concerned. You know, you are champions, you know,
thank
and
you.
I just want to give you credit for all that you do for the community.
I don't even know where that's coming from.
One thing, this is just my opinion. I just thought that I stayed there for a good while now.
Yes.
I stayed there for a good while.
Yes, you did.
And what I'm about to say is that I thought that it should have been more people there, you know, contributing some kind of way,
right.
You know, some item. And the reason why I say this is because you have so many people that constantly call, sometimes every day, two or three times a week. But I didn't see them.
Yeah.
I didn't see them. So I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
I wanted to say.
Hats off
to you and Justina for all you've done and all you do for the community. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Leon. I think Leon is correct, folks. We say often that this show belongs to all of us, which means that when there's a need, the need falls on all of us. If you are a regular caller of this show and we invite you to join the conversation, when there's a need, we expect to see you as well. Thank you so much, Leon, for just pointing that out. We have Troy on the phone from Baltimore. Troy, how are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. K? Hey, sorry for you. What I think happened, I didn't watch this match, but I watched some of it on news last night. First of all, I think I kind of wish Serena Winwood just never came back and played right away.
Really?
I think she should just lay low for a while, then come back, because she's going to eventually break the record. If she don't do it now, she's going to do it next year or the year after. I just kind of wish she would have laid low for a while, after motherhood, relaxed for a while, exhale.
But why does she have to relax after motherhood? Like, why can't she keep going?
I'm just saying, because she just had a child, because when a young lady talked to her, I'm not saying it in a bad way.
Right.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just thinking she probably could have just relaxed for a while, then came back and went on like a dominating spree all over again. Because she's going to break the record. We know it's coming. I wasn't saying that in a negative way.
Okay.
But what I was saying, when I seen a young lady explaining this not the finish we was expecting, I think she was trying to say the same thing about the controversy. You know, she ain't wanted to end that way.
Right, I agree.
I don't think she was favoring Serena. But one thing I would kind of say I like to see by her being an African-American lady in that type of position, to know that she's in that position, surrounded around all on whiteness, it was good to see an African American lady in that type of position, seeing this the U.S. Open, and I like
right,
that.
Right, I like that too. I liked seeing her stand up. I liked what she said. She did not back down. I mean, it was kind of what somebody said: #. What we're not going to do today. Like, you're not just going to walk all over me today. Thank you so much for calling, Troy. And folks, we do want to note that Saturday it was a pop-up fundraiser. We are very clear about that. We only announced it on Friday. We had it on Saturday. I know a lot of people didn't have time to change their schedules. We are in no way trying to shame people. We are just grateful and thankful for every single person who pushed through and came out. We appreciate you, and we saw you, and we thank you. We have Marie on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Marie, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I was hoping I wouldn't have to call, but I have to put this in. When Serena first started out, it was hard for her to lose. I saw it one game on the TV with her head bowed down, and Big Sister said that Serena will have to learn how to lose,
mm-hmm.
you know, gracefully.
Right.
And when I saw the two women now, Serena and Osaka hug each other.
Right.
I just thought that was just wonderful. Two black women holding each other.
Yes.
You know
holding
what I mean?
Yes, I like that. Holding each other.
Holding each other. And I was glad to see a black woman speak up. And Lord have mercy, I wish I had been that way younger.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Marie. I love that. With Serena speaking up, and the fact that she was very clear in saying she was not just doing it for herself. She was doing it for everyone coming behind her. She was cited 3 times for code violations, in which she called chair umpire Carlos Ramos. She said, you know, you're a liar and a thief. She called him a thief, she said, because you stole a point from me. But do understand that he has been called a thief before by white men across the board, and he has never penalized them a point. He has seen white male players break their rackets, and he's never taken a game away from them. I just want to throw that out. We have Alan on the phone from Mount Washington. Alan, how are you?
Fine and dandy. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm going to turn this to a different way.
Okay.
I was upset that by the whole notion of two black women duking it out and somebody or playing tennis and being manipulated to be against each other, much in the same way I always rooted for Muhammad Ali, in spite of the fact that there were two African-American men fighting each other. Mm-hmm. This kind of divide and conquer, make the champ look bad, even though she, in my heart, she's still a winner.
Right.
And also the idea that, and I know everybody goes through this, everybody says the same phrase in the back of their mind: the whole world is getting away with murder, and I'm doing time for a park violation. That Serena, that when you're in the public eye, people are looking at you like you don't do anything wrong.
Right.
And then they can cuss at you. People can put you on hold for an hour and tell you that your call means something special to them. And when you get mad because something happened, something snapped, something
right.
rubbed you the wrong way, I mean, Donald Trump can throw temper tantrums all day long on television and people quote it.
Right.
But Serena does something that upset her, that got it off her chest, people have to go ballistic.
I'm going to have to stop you there, Alan. Thank you so much. Folks, what I really love, and I'm going to go back in time before we go to break, I love that moment when Venus and Serena, the first time they met each other, and I believe that's the time when Venus won, but she went and she hugged her little sister, walked with her. They did not allow themselves to be divided and conquered, and they have stuck together. There's a way that black women can get and, you know, play tennis against each other and not be divided and conquer. That's why I like the way Serena stood up for young sister Naomi. Judy Robert Twyla, hold it here, folks. When we come back, let's also move from talking about Serena. Let's talk about Botham Jean. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Keep it here for a quick update from MTA.